Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
A man who's no fool about the NFL, who knows basically everything there is to know about the great game of football, Howard Bolzer. He joins us right now on the hotline from the Sports Exchange at HBolzer721 on Twitter. Howard, how you doing?
Ken, I'm doing great, man. How you doing?
I'm doing well. Philly isn't. I often say, you know, people go, winning a championship's hard. Well, obviously, repeating it, I think, is way harder because you got to find a way to put the confetti back in the cannon, and that's what the Eagles are figuring out right now. Is it just a hangover, or what's the real problem with Philly?
Well, there's never one reason for anything, whether you win or lose, and certainly that could be certainly it's a factor when you have, you know, your season went longer than everybody else. And then you have all the accolades, everybody's talking about it, and you have all the different things. But no team is the same from one year to the next in this league anymore. And that's the way it's been, obviously, for a while. And when you get on a roll like they did last year, everything seems to go right and go well. Sometimes it starts flipping the other way. And you start having some key injuries. They fought through some injuries last year, but you know, this year they're secondary is a shell of what it was. They're not getting pass rush that they were getting last year a lot. You know, offensively, they're struggling running the football. They've had some injuries on their offensive line with Lane Johnson. That was a big part of having him out there all 16 games of the regular season last year. So you put it all together, and you come up a little bit short, and you lose some close games. You lose some tough ones, and here they are in the muddle of the NFL, which is where a lot of teams are right now. It's interesting. I heard someone talking about the Chargers, as I digress for a moment, and the point was made, well, yeah, but they really haven't beaten anybody. They've beaten this team, and they're not that good, and they haven't beaten, you know, too many good teams. And I'm thinking to myself, well, who are the good teams? I mean, you know, everybody has good records. You look at their team, and you say, well, boy, who have they beaten? Because there's not that many good teams with really good records. And then even the ones that do, we see New England get knocked off the way they did against Tennessee. It's just a crazy league, and it is year after year. It's tough. It's tough to win games in this league, and I think we see it all the time, week after week.
All right, brother, you digress, so I'm going to digress as well. For that principle, have I been a little bit too hard on Chicago then? Because last week I go, you know, I just can't put them with the real ones, where four of their five wins were against some teams that, again, I just thought were garbage.
No, you know, and I think that they have to prove themselves in the nitty-gritty when it comes down the stretch. And, you know, they've got Minnesota on Sunday Night Football next week, so we'll find out some more about them. You know, I'm not going to put them in the upper echelon yet, even though their record is pretty good. But they've got a lot of ingredients to be a pretty good team because, you know, the defense was good last year. That was a defense that no one noticed because the overall team wasn't very good. But they had a pretty good defense last year. Now, of course, they've added Khalil Mack to that. And, you know, the offense is developing some weapons at receiver. You know, Mitchell Trubisky is going to have ups and downs, just like any young quarterback does. But he shows a lot of good things. But once again, look at that division. I mean, what is there there? I mean, you know, is Green Bay going to make a second half of the season run? Perhaps they will. Looks like maybe they've discovered a running game with Aaron Jones. The Vikings are still, you know, still a darn good team, even though they've had some injuries. So that's just, you know, like you said, that's just the way this league is. It's just a very competitive league. And if you, like I said earlier, if you can get on that roll and you have confidence in yourself and you don't beat yourself, and you make some plays, whether it's with turnovers or whatever, to turn games. There's a lot of coaches will always tell you, Ken. They say, in most any game, there's three or four plays that really, truly make a difference in a game. And if you can be that team that does that, then you're going to have a great record. I mean, look at the Rams. I mean, they're widely hailed as certainly one of the high echelon teams in the league. You know, four of their games, they've won by a total of 12 points.
Yeah.
And you know, they battled Seattle twice. They won a close one over Denver, won a close one over Green Bay. You know, all of a sudden, if they lose two of those, you know, all of a sudden they're 7-3 instead of 9-1. Say, yeah, they're pretty good, but they're not great. So that's the fine line that exists in this league.
Are the Saints better than they are?
I don't know. I mean, they might be.
I know they won, but I know they won the head-to-head matchup. But I mean, overall, you know, you lose games in the NFL, what the hell, right?
No, that well, exactly. And I think those two teams are very close. I really do. And when you look at all that they have, obviously the Saints have the more experienced quarterback in Drew Brees. But both have really good running games. I don't know that Alvin Kamara, Mark Ingram aren't as good as Todd Gurley individually, but together that's a heck of a a tandem. And both teams are struggling a little bit with defense. They have good defensive players, but I think in this league everybody struggles on defense now because all the rules favor the offensive players. And so what it will probably come down to is who played, you know, this is like last week's game. Who has the ball last when the Saints played the Rams? And that was home, and they won that one. So I think if those teams played 10 times, it probably would be split 5-5.
Howard Baltzer joining us on the show. Is Jason Garrett going to save his job?
I think Jerry Jones, it's not Jason Garrett's fault. And, I mean, there's all the debate about the Cowboys, and we can't put too much in this victory tonight. It was a nice win for them, obviously, and they did some good things against, again, as I was saying, a team that isn't quite what it was last year. But that offensive line of the Cowboys is the biggest issue with that team right now. But no one usually looks at that. When they analyze teams, when an offense struggles, they look at the quarterback or they look at the coach, you know, or they look at the offensive coordinator. And the commentators say, oh, the Cowboys have to get the ball down the field. Well, they haven't had a guy to get the ball down the field, too. You just can't throw it willy-nilly in that. But I think they've upgraded with Amari Cooper. He's not the greatest, but he's certainly an improvement over what they had, and that helps that offense. But overall, the line just isn't as good as it was 2 years ago. And that's their biggest problem now with having consistency on offense and being able to make those plays on third down or make the plays in the red zone to win games. They made them tonight, but they've got to prove that they can do it week after week. And I'm not convinced with that line that they can do it consistently. And so I don't blame the coaches. It's just personnel.
Did Le'Veon Bell still do what was best for business?
Well, yeah, for business he did. And that's all this has been about since day one, which is unfortunate because if every player entering his last year of his contract, did that and just decided, oh, I'm not going to show up. Now his situation is different because he was never really signed. Mm-hmm. But if more players did that and say, okay, I'm not showing up, you know, for this reason or that reason, I want to protect myself. There'd be mutiny in the NFL. There wouldn't be enough players to play. So I think it's unfortunate when a guy does what he's obviously doing. And he's made no bones about what he's doing. I just don't know. Here's the thing, Ken. I don't know how you make this 15. If he doesn't play the whole season, I don't know how you make this $14.5 million back.
There it is.
I know some have said, well, if he gets, you know, $18 million, you know, a year and $30 million guaranteed, he'll make it back because he won't have the wear and tear on his body. Well, he's still a year older. There's only so many years he has left. And I just don't see how this, in the long run, truly benefited him, except to make sure that he becomes a free agent and protects himself so he can get the best contract possible. Well, I'm going to be very intrigued to see what he actually gets in the open market because I just don't think it's going to be as much as a lot of people think.
Can he guarantee? That's my point. Can he guarantee that he's going to get $18 million a year, to make that up, obviously, but is he going to get the $18 million a year? And how can he do that without proving that he can play is one thing, but without playing? I don't know how you're going to just get that after you've sat out a year. You might get it down the line, but I still think you're going to have to play for somebody.
Well, you know, I think there's usually one or two teams that'll do something crazy. But even if he gets 18 a year, it's not going to be for more than 2 or 3 years because of his age.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one reality. So even if he gets $18 million, that's a little more than $3 million than he was supposed to make this year. So even if he makes that more, how many years of $3 million more does he have to make up for the 14.5 he lost?
Yeah.
4 or 5 years, perhaps. And I don't believe for a second that he's going to get that, for 4 or 5. Now, maybe 4 or 5 years, the team can get out of the deal. If it's $30 million guaranteed, that's close to what he made. If he would have made this year, that's what, if you add in last year's tender plus this year's, I think it comes out to about 27 or $28 million. So that's not that far from $30 million guaranteed. So I just don't get this one. But he's decided to do what he's going to do. And we'll see how it works out for him in the long run.
The great Howard Balzer joining us from the Sports Exchange. How do I ask you this without getting you upset? You've been covering the NFL for a long time. I am entertained. I demand to be entertained by a sport, by a professional sport, that's still predicated on entertainment, based on dollars. I know that there has to be a flag for Tyreek Hill. I know that there has to be a flag for Michael Thomas. I thought we would overreact, and we did, as radio show hosts last week, to Michael Thomas. Now, this week, it's probably going to be a little different with Tyreek Hill since we've already seen it, but tell me why I'm a bad fan for being entertained and loving what Tyreek Hill did. Go ahead. Hammer me with it. Go ahead, Howard.
Well, first, I hate to admit this, but with everything I was watching today and going jumping here and jumping there, I saw Michael Thomas, but I did not see what Tyreek Hill did.
Oh, it's a sight, man. It is a sight. Okay, well, then we'll go back to Michael Thomas, because Michael Thomas is one thing, and I still thought, I was like, hey, it's a throwback. Now, I talked to Andrew Hawkins in a pregame of the NFL team I do in my city, and Andrew Hawkins, the former NFL wide receiver, says, well, as a guy who likes it for the entertainment, I liked it, but as a guy who was a captain, to know that he knew he was going to go in and get the team flagged if he was to score a touchdown, gotta admit, I didn't like that. I went, what? You got a point there, Andrew. Gotta admit. Go ahead.
No, well, that's exactly it. We can rail about the rules all we want, and they put in those rules mainly, and I don't think it's the no fun league or any of that, because they've certainly loosened the restrictions on what players can do and all those things, but they just don't want it to turn into a circus with every guy thinking, oh, what am I going to do now? What am I going to do with the ball? Or what prop am I going to have out there that's going to call attention to me? And they just don't want it getting carried away, getting guys carried away with it. So they just say, blanket, can't use the ball as a prop, can't have these other props or whatever it might be. And when you go to that extent, like Michael Thomas, have a cell phone in both end zones for the touchdown that you're going to score, and then affect your team negatively and perhaps make a difference in a game because your team is kicking off from the 20-yard line instead of the 35, that's just selfish.
So we
can argue whether the rule should be there or not, but the fact is the rule is there.
And Howard Balzer,
as long as the rule's there, you shouldn't break it.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.